Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode number 86. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, gentlemen?
I'm so excited.
Sounds like
it. I'm so excited.
You know what?
Really,
I feel happy. Is it droopy?
I'm just really excited to be here.
Happy.
I'm just here so I don't get fined. Like Marshawn Lynch used to say at the Super Bowl.
I'm just here so
I don't get fined.
Right.
Nate, you doing all right?
Yeah, doing good.
Good. Good. What did you guys do for Halloween?
What didn't we do for Halloween?
It's over. Yeah. I'm sad.
Had a party on Saturday.
Nice.
And then
party in the USA.
Got home from work and handed out candy.
Nice. Nice.
On Monday.
Mm-hmm. And Sean?
On Halloween, we had a murder mystery party, and then we came over here and hung out until too late. And
how did that go, the murder mystery?
The murder mystery was fun. Okay, Jenna was killed.
Jenna died.
She died.
Oh, she's so young, too.
I was the prime suspect. It was based on Game of Thrones, and I was a evil king, and she was an evil queen, and I was her son, I guess, and whatever. But it's kind of weird.
I'm confused.
The person that killed her character didn't even show up. So we were like, oh,
nice.
But it was still fun though. We had a really good time. Yeah.
That makes it work.
It was, it was fun though. But then, and we went out trick or treating on Halloween. So
yeah,
it was lots of fun.
Good. Yeah. We did, the first Saturday. I don't know why I smacked my lips. I hate that. Was it last night trick or treating? Yeah. So we, had the first year of not going with the kids. It's like, oh no.
And you watched Halloween, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was telling Nate before. You got back with the PC, with the laptop.
I'm having quite the weekend.
Yeah, we gave out candy, but like I said, Elijah went with his buddies and mm-hmm. Livia. She's done that for 3 years because she's 3 years older. So this is the first year that we did not go trick or treating with one of our kids.
Was it nice?
It was weird. It was sad.
Yeah, weird.
Just because it's like, oh, I'm like, he's really getting older, you know. And then we passed out candy. And then when I picked Olivia up from her friends, got back home, I had texted Amy. I said, hey, on my way back. I said, when I get home, it's Halloween time, like movie time. She goes, okay, cool. So she sat there with me, and she did her work on her laptop. And then about halfway through, she goes, I'm done. I'm shot. I'm going upstairs. I said, okay. And the kids had already been in bed. The pups were in bed. So I got to watch Halloween by myself.
Oh,
the last
you
half.
You should turn, call me. I would come over.
Turn the lights out, and I'm like, all right. Just kick back and watch Michael do his thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
No, it was fun. It was fine. It's just weird when your kids are getting to that age. I'm like, oh, they don't want us around anymore. Or it's older, they're old enough to do something on their own, you know. And
there was a guy down
it's
the street,
rite of passage, I guess.
Independence.
A guy down,
oh yeah,
the guy down the street that we had three little ones with us, you know, our two littles, and then they had some friends, and so they were all going down the street, and I take that back. Three of our three oldest went on their own way, and it was Ella, her friend, and then some friends of ours, a youngest boy. And we were going with them, and they got the crap scared out of them by one of our neighbors up the street.
Oh, really?
And then it was broad daylight still, and he was, you know, kind of, he was scaring them, but you could tell he was laughing. And then up on the porch, they wouldn't even come near. They're like, nope, we're good. We're going to the next house. And we're like, no, he wants you to come back. It's fine, you know. And there was a witch. His wife was saying, I mean, she really was a witch. But she was sitting in the cauldron. The cauldron was full of candy.
Wow.
And she was like, come on, kiddies. You know, I was like,
really,
oh, man. And they did. They all made it up there. But they were just like, oh. And then they kept saying, are more people going to do that to us? I'm like, probably.
Hopefully. Right.
Yeah, my boys helped me pass candy out.
Did you throw it at people?
No.
Winging it at kids.
But then later,
checking it at them, and
yeah, later on into it, they Parker was dressed in his Michael Myers outfit.
Mm. This is fantastic.
Dane ran inside and grabbed his Freddy Krueger outfit.
Mm.
So they went on a walk through the neighborhood, and there's a golf cart that kept driving by, and Parker as Michael Myers would stand there in the street and just watch him.
He could get shot.
And the girl driving, she's like, I love it. That's so awesome.
Let's stay right
there.
A few
minutes later, they come back. Call the police. Stop and stare at him.
Got to be in character, man. Awesome. Good. There was a kid last night. He came up to the house, and I had just passed out candy, and then I could tell the little kids walked away, and then I could tell somebody else was coming up, but I couldn't see what they were dressed as. And they stopped right in front of our bay window. Mm-hmm. That's where I have that Michael Myers decal and the red light flashes. And so I'm like, oh, they're probably checking that out. Well, here he comes. He's dressed in Michael Myers. Had a great mask, the latest one, you know, mm-hmm. had the overalls or cover, mm-hmm. not over, whatever, the mechanics outfit.
Coveralls.
And he comes up and I go, oh, man, there's my boy. I said, awesome. And Amy had just come out and she goes, oh, my gosh, that's my husband's favorite. And I said, were you looking at the Michael Myers in the bay window? And he just nods his head. He didn't speak. He was in character.
Oh,
and I go,
good.
Okay, cool. I said, here, let me get some candy. I said, here. And Amy goes, yeah, he's got a Michael Myers tattoo. So I, of course, lifted up my sleeve and showed him and he gave me a thumbs up. He would not speak. He was dead silent. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So I gave him his candy. I go, well, happy Halloween. Have a good rest of the night. And he looked at and he just like gave me a thumbs up. I was
that's cool.
Wow. He was all in.
Did he cock his head over to the side?
I was waiting for him to do it, but he didn't. but he was dead silent. Yeah. I was like, good job, boy. Good job, Michael. So I gave him a little extra candy.
On Saturday.
Here, just take the whole bowl.
Yeah, here you go, Michael.
On
don't stab me.
Saturday at Nate's party, Dane dressed up as Ace Ventura when he's in that mental institution, his hair up.
And with the tutu.
And the tutu, you know.
That's great.
Let's watch that in reverse. You know.
Yeah,
he got the funniest. Didn't he get funniest costume? Because that was.
Oh, that's clever.
I voted for
him. I've never seen anybody do that. That's clever. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty funny.
There are some clever costumes out there.
Yes.
Kids mm-hmm. and adults. And what people come up with, it's like, oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. Mm. Olivia was a pig. A onesie pig.
Well, that's not
and
nice.
Elijah was a onesie Elmo. Him and his buddy both had mm-hmm. the Elmo outfits. I'm like, but they're warm.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, she was a pig. And she goes, hey, Mom, this is like during the weekend, the soccer tournament. She goes, did my costume come in? And Amy's like, yeah, it did. And I go, oh, I said, I didn't know you were going as a cow. Man, she looked at me, she goes, what? A cow? I'm like, I go, yeah. She's like, I go, I'm just kidding. It's a pig. She goes, it's, oh, gosh.
Ouch. That makes.
She was like, it better not be a cow. I ordered a pig.
One of the guys we went with, he was dressed as a dog, a Dalmatian. And he was going around, and there were so many people in our neighborhood. A lady came up and
were people spotting him? Did
they were spotting him. She came up. She almost kind of ran into him, and I'm not judging, but she might have had a few drinks. And she she's like, oh, ha ha, and they didn't realize they knew each other at first, right? And so she said, oh, excuse me, cow. And he goes, I'm not a cow. I'm a Dalmatian. Get it right, you know. And she said, oh, because he was kind of bending over a little bit, you know. And she goes, oh, I thought you were playing with your udders. Like, not in public, I don't. He's like,
nice.
But I was just like, and then they realized, like, they knew each other. Like, oh, you know. So it's just kind of funny. But
I thought he'd go, rah, rah, rah.
This, that,
wrong
and the
species,
other.
Wrong species, yeah.
Yeah, Amy said. But I thought that was funny. Amy said, there was a little girl who walked up, and she goes, oh, is that a, what did she say? It turned out to be, it was a red panda. Oh, I think she said, oh, she goes, oh, is that a raccoon? And the girl goes, it's a red panda. And I could tell it wasn't a raccoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have, now I know. I'm like, okay, yeah, it looks like a red panda. But
yeah,
I'm like,
there's a
honey.
Cartoon movie that came out, Red Panda.
Yeah. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
She goes, yeah. And you know, kids are always like, oh my gosh, no, it's a red panda. You know, they, you get annoyed when somebody botches the costume. It's like,
dang it, everybody got my costume wrong.
I know. I'm a ninja, not a raccoon.
Okay, yeah. I got two more things to say, and I promise we'll get off of Halloween for a second. But in just a second. So there was
this
somebody,
is the way we wind down after Halloween. Since
that's
it's
right.
Kind of, I told
oh,
Nate,
this
it's kind
is
of a bummer. It's kind
yeah,
of a
this is our downslope from
letdown.
Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Which was awesome, by the way.
I think
those
so.
Stories
we
are,
think so.
Those stories are amazing. But there was somebody dressed up in the Beetlejuice, the girl in the red dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I saw from a distance, and it was like, that was really cool. And then Harrison had a couple friends. We saw them. One was dressed like Aladdin, so and he had the little hat and whatever. And he's dressed like Aladdin, not the monkey. And he was with the other kid, or Apu. He had a piece of carpeting, and so he was a flying carpet. It was Aladdin and his flying carpet.
Okay, and, I was like, wait,
it
what?
Was pretty funny.
That's
like,
pretty clever.
And the mom goes, had told Jenna, she told Jenna in the morning, she goes, we just cut a hole in this big piece of carpeting, but it had to be, she's like, it had to be like 10, 15 pound carpet, you know?
Oh, man.
Like, he's, yeah.
He's going to have like strong legs.
He's just clunking around and it was funny.
Yeah. The, Christy, her, she brought her two sons. So, one of them is Brennan, who I've mentioned. He's the one who goes, good job.
Yeah, you know, right. Yeah.
Right. So he went with Elijah, and then Brady, is his younger brother, is in sixth grade. And then so she walked with him because Brennan does want his younger brother, doesn't think it's cool to have his younger brother hanging out, you know. But anyway, so she's like, he was dressed, Brady was dressed as Freddy Krueger, had the exact hat, the striped shirt, you know, the jeans, and then he had the claw, great mask too.
Yeah.
He collects horror masks. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, make sure you put your masks, like if you have time, put your masks together, kind of, you know, straight, and then have your mom take a picture and send it to me, and then I'll post it on the group side or the Facebook group. But yeah, he goes all out. Anyway, so he went as Freddy Krueger, and so his mom goes, oh, I better get my costume on. So she put this T-shirt on. I'm like, what's going on? Well, then she had like blood stains on it, and then she had all those, you know, those like mini cereal boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can get.
Serial killer.
Serial killer. I was like, right? I go, Christy, that's pretty good. Yeah. So, yeah, serial killer. So I was like, that's good job. Good job. Yeah. So it was fun. It's just
now, and it's over. I know.
It's a letdown.
So
it's
we're recording on November 2nd. So yesterday I was walking, last night I was walking Jude. So November 1st, we just got Halloween over with. Mm-hmm. I was walking back and I noticed a house had already been decorated for Halloween.
I was like, oh,
Christmas. And I was like, man, they was like, can I decorate? Well,
what's weird is last year when trick or treating was over and we turned the lights out and everything.
Yep.
Olivia had me go up in the attic to get her boxes. Mm-hmm. She decorated.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
I told her this year, I said, that will not be happening. You will not be decorating on Halloween night. That is, you can November 1st. That's fine. Still a little bit early for me, but that's fine if you're doing your room. So she decorated it last night.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's got her tree up, and she's got her lights. She's got, I think, a couple more things to do, but we're not doing this Halloween stuff.
Can we get through Turkey Day first?
Yeah.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Leah Wagler.
She's crazy. She's a wackadoo, a Christmas wackadoo.
Leah Wagler. So she's been mentioned in this podcast before.
Hi, Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Hi, Brandon.
Hello, hello. The Jopa Joppa episode, right? No, and
Joppa.
They dressed for, we did a Fright K for the kids' elementary school on Saturday morning. It was 5K, and they dressed as, they won the costume party, and it was, they were all the family from Home Alone.
Oh.
So he was, I thought he was going somewhere fancy, because I was like, what y'all dressed up for? You're not, this is not jogging attire, you know, or running attire. And he's like, oh, you know, whatever. And it was for, I didn't realize it was for the costume. Because then when I saw them all together, that's I'm funny. Like, oh, they're Home Alone.
Gotcha.
But it was funny. She asked, she said, so when Halloween's done, can I start, you know, decorating for Christmas? I'm like, yes, Leah, to, you know, decorate to your heart's content, whatever you need to do.
She's asking you.
She was just asking everybody, like, yeah. Can I start?
No. Yeah,
she's ready. She's chomping at the bit.
We do it every Thanksgiving night. That's our tradition.
I know. That's what
but
we, I agree.
Our daughter decorates her room now. I mean, it's, yeah.
And playing Christmas
right
music,
now.
Right?
Oh, yeah. She was playing it in June, July. Seriously, she would, yeah. But I told her no more decorating on Halloween night.
No mas.
So she waited and she decorated last night. So she was she's so happy. She's in her happy place.
Oh, good. Like,
So
the world is a better place when Olivia's in her happy place. Let's be honest.
Yes, it is. Right? Yes, it is.
All right.
I took down. So yeah, today is Wednesday the 2nd. I got home and I took all our decorations down outside and in the bay window that I decorate. And Amy will take the other stuff because some of the stuff actually fits for.
Yeah,
you know, Thanksgiving, you know, pumpkin type stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, right.
Fall.
It's a bummer though.
It's still warm though.
Even Olivia went, oh, she saw me taking the stuff down. She's like, oh, it's done. I go,
yeah,
I know.
Spooky time.
So come here, dear.
Well, you can leave Michael Myers up. Just put a Christmas hat on him.
There you go.
I mean, why not? I mean, why not?
Makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah. I mean,
works for me.
Well, we hope the Creepies had a good Halloween, whatever they did, parties or trick-or-treating and all that good stuff.
Absolutely,
so,
yes.
Yeah, we're glad that they're joining us. Hey, but you know what? When we do a podcast like this, we can make every week Halloween, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's always spooky season, right? Did you see me come back to life? Here I am.
I'm just trying to pump myself
up. I know, yeah.
Keep myself from being depressed. So yeah,
is that what the show's designed for?
Yeah, exactly.
For all of us.
I mean, we like our creepies, love our creepies, and we love the stories, but it's pretty much to keep us going.
That's right.
When the Mako boys are happy, everybody's happy.
That's right.
Sean, you want to tell the creepies the first announcement?
You want me to do the first part of the announcements? Well, then we have to always let you know. We, of course, do this podcast for, like we were saying, for the fun and for the frivolity.
Right? For the money.
Frivolity.
Wow.
The money. Whoa.
It's strictly for the zeros.
Which way? I was going to say, which way you want to go? Frivolity, money, which way?
Yeah.
But the main reason that we do this, and one of the most important things, it will be this way until we do the last episode, and then we croak, right? Isn't that what happens? We die podcasting. It's like
we'll
the notebook, only
we're
a little
be old,
weird.
Creeped out, and deceased.
It's like the notebook, only a little creepier. I don't know.
I do know what you're talking about, but I haven't.
You're like, I don't
read it.
Yeah, don't.
My wife does, but.
Middle-aged and dead.
So we're all...
And that's a wrap. How are you going to do that to wrap me?
Keep it clear.
Just pre-record it. All right.
Sean died. Okay. But the most important thing is the mental health community that we have built and are continuing to build. So if you need help out there, know somebody else that does need it, the number you can call or text for any crisis is 988. And also you can visit stopbullying.gov, bullying, I said, for another way to get help with any bullying issues, because issues out there, because that is truly a serious problem.
Yes, it is.
It really is.
Epidemic.
I heard a bullying incident the other day from one of our kids. They weren't involved, and thank goodness, and they're not the bullies, but it drives me nuts. I hate that. Mm-hmm. I said these, yeah.
Yeah, there was, I was listening to Rogan on the way home today.
Attaboy.
He had Dr. Phil on there.
Oh, did he really?
And they got into the whole mental health stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Phil came out with a story that he worked on with this girl's parents, but she was like a stellar collegiate hockey player, ice hockey player.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And came around, I think, that she started dating one of the other girls' exes, and they didn't like that, so then she got all the other girls to start bullying her.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. And it took 5 days, and she took her own life.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, no.
Just 5 days.
To be hassled. Pushed over the edge.
That breaks my heart. Yeah. That is awful.
Yeah.
That's awful. And it doesn't have to happen. Like, people, whether you're a kid, teenager, 80 years
we
old.
Need to
stop doing that crap.
Take
it's
better
like,
care of each
really?
Other.
Like,
yeah,
you're going to get a group of...
Wildly immature and uncalled for, like you said.
Horrible.
What a waste of life and energy and just... Yeah.
That is... Yeah, I hadn't heard that. That's a...
Yeah. I hadn't either until he brought it up. And I was like, man, that's heavy.
Wow.
That's Dr. Phil, though.
Yeah.
Gosh, darn. That's sad. That's sad. Yeah, so don't bully. And if you're being bullied... Do what you need to do to get help. Tell somebody. Don't try to battle it yourself.
Tell us if you
just
need
like
to.
Mental,
right?
You know, just like mental health issues.
Yeah.
Don't fight it by yourself.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Get somebody to help you, you know, rally around you and help you out. So anyway, well, thank you, sir, for those.
No problem. My pleasure.
Next, I'm going to do some shout-outs. Have a couple shout-outs. I want to mention this young lady. She has been a friend, and she's a coworker of mine at the church. Her name is Amanda Narr. We've mentioned her a few times, and she actually submitted a couple stories a few months back, and she was at the live event.
She's an angel, let's be honest. I mean, it's true.
She is an angel.
She won't believe it, but it's true.
She said, this is not necessary, and I said, yes, it is.
To call her an angel.
And I've got control of the mics. So
yeah.
Amanda Narr, she's a sweetheart. I said, she's a friend. She's a coworker of mine. She is now our official event coordinator.
A woot. That's awesome.
And if you think that's fancy, it's because it is.
It is. It's big sound.
Not only do we have a sound engineer, an award-winning sound engineer, we have our own event coordinator. And what she, and seriously, and she's our, I would say, I just tabbed her the other day. I said, and you're our general assistant, because what she does is she's been helping. We're going to do that live show next October, which we're excited about here in Plainfield, the live podcast show. And she's been emailing back and forth. She is literally coordinating it. And we went and saw the location the other day. It's awesome, by the way.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. And so it's taking a lot off my plate. She's doing the emailing back and forth and getting all the information and, you know, asking the questions and then, you know, getting back with me. We've got her doing some other things, you know, for the future things, but, she even helped, I hate to say this. Usually I'm pretty quick at getting the merch out, like the giveaways, but I did one back, October 1st and there were 5 creepies off the Facebook group that, needed to get stickers sent to them. Well, I just mailed them out yesterday or Monday. And she helped, Amanda helped. She got the envelopes and wrote them out, the addresses, the names.
That's nice of her.
Yeah. So, like, she's doing all kinds of stuff for us. So, anyway, we wanted to give Amanda a shout out. So, thank you, Amanda.
Thank you. So, she's our
EC. And she is a loyal listener.
Yeah, so. She is. This is true. She is our ECGA. Is that what you said?
ECGA.
ECGA. Wow, yeah. Man. We need an ECGA. I met her at the live show. I felt like I knew her already from the stories that she shared and then just on social media. But she, I'm not even joking. Like, she's fantastic. Yeah. She really is a sweetheart.
And she's going to be helping do a lot of that type of stuff where it kind of, I don't have to, you know,
she's keeping us knuckleheads in line. She's even keeping us grammatically correct, which is going to be
very challenging. She changed our description on the podcast on telling people so they want to see what we're about and what, you know, what the podcast is about.
She told me to watch the
she goes, it's really not grammatically correct. I go, look who you're dealing with. Okay. You know, she goes, well, do you want it to sound right or not? I go, sure. And she's like, of course, made it sound better.
She said, at least wipe the drool from Sean's mouth from time to time.
Yeah. So anyway, we thank you, Amanda. Thank you for doing what you're doing for our show. We appreciate it. And I'm going to give a shout out to her little girl, Melody. She's a 5-year-old daughter. She is sweet and cute and
also
full of personality. She loved our logo. She like, Amanda's like, she loves your logo. I said,
she's
pretty cool.
She's got
good taste. Yeah.
Well, so, big deal.
We are big.
She wants Nate's autograph, and us. Right?
Yeah. Right. And then the second shout out is a podcast that I have recently discovered. Now, this podcast has been going on not too long, for a few months now. So they're fairly new. She had reached out on Instagram and messaged me and said, "Hey, my son and I, it's a mom and son duo." I think, first of all, that is so
cool.
That's
unusual.
Yes, it's so cool. Her name is Jane. His name is Declan. She reached out and said, "Hey, we've been listening to your podcast for a while. And we love it, and you guys do a great job." I'm like, "Awesome! Thank you so much." And so we kind of, you know, corresponded, and then I looked up. I said, "Well, I'll give your show a check. You know, I'll check it out, and it's really good. It's fun." This podcast, yeah. So Jane and Declan, and the podcast is called Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast. Basically what they do is, they'll start out talking about a true crime, like a brutal type crime. And then they'll get into like some bizarre kind of a weird story. To give you an example, the episode I listened to last night, he started out with, did you hear that story back? I think it was in the '80s, the Japanese guy that killed a woman and then literally carved her and ate her.
Oh yes.
That's pretty. Yeah. That was his brutal crime story. And then she did her, bizarre on the Winchester House.
Oh, very good.
And then they cap it off. Then the boozy part comes in. They do, they'll drink like a cocktail, like they'll fix a cocktail or something like that to kind of tie in with the stories they do, or at least one of them. Yeah.
I was going to say, tell me more about these boozy cocktails.
And then they always, and then what they always do is and what's cool is they'll go, okay. And after the podcast, after they do their two stories, they call it a chaser. So they each do a chaser, meaning like a kind of like your middle-aged moment where they coming off that awful story, the crime story, and then whatever she does for the bizarre. They'll tell like more of a light, like what did you do today or something just simple, you know, just a little chaser, but then they have like a little cocktail to drink and they kind of tell you how you make it. And so there you go. Shout out to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast, Jane and Declan, mom and son duo. They do a great job. So, subscribe to their podcast, give them a rating and review. And if you're going to rate, make sure it's 5 stars and tell them the boys at Mako sent you. So, there you go. That's my shout outs.
I like it. Are you saying that we need a creepy cocktail corner now? Maybe. You're like,
creepy cocktail corner. Write that down. I'll have Amanda get on that right now. She can come up with something. So shout out to them. You'll enjoy their show, I think. And then we are to that point.
Oh, God. Sorry, that came out wrong. Yay! That was not intentional. Maybe a little bit.
Are you trying to? Are you trying to poo-poo my dad joke of the show already?
I looked down and I was like, "Oh man,
he'd expect it from me."
Exactly. I know. First of all. That's not nice.
Not nice.
Second of all, you're stepping on Nate's toes. He's usually the one that has some condescending, passive aggressive. Like,
what
do you think, Nate?
As Brandon Fraser said in Encino Man, oh boy.
Oh boy.
Great movie, by the way. Yeah, I've seen that a thousand times. Yeah.
Forgotten all about that one.
Encino Man. Gosh darn. That's like 92, 93.
That's back there.
That's awesome. That's a Pauly Shore. And then Sean. Aston.
Hobbit.
Yeah. I was thinking he was in Goonies. Goonies. Younger. Yep. Yeah. Man, that's awesome, Nate. I was like, threw me up. Encino Man. Wow. Okay. Are you ready for this dad joke?
Oh, my gosh.
Show?
Yes.
Now, I don't think you grew up on a farm, did you, Nate? Sean. I'm looking at. Did you know much about farming? Like, you know. I don't know.
And, yeah. Corn, combine, cows. I don't know.
Yeah. Chickens. Do you know much about chicken coops?
I'd say no.
I'm going to ask you a question.
A coop with chickens in it?
Okay. Do you know why chicken coops have two doors?
Hmm.
It's like, I don't know.
Because if they had four, they'd be a chicken sedan.
Oh, man.
What do you think? That's
right. Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. The dad joke of the show. I'm really proud of that one.
It's one of the better ones, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
I like that one.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Now the show's made. That's all I
can say. Keep my mouth shut. Is what I'm going to do.
That's right. Okay, so coming off of that, Sean.
Yes.
Will you please tell our lovely creepies what we're going to discuss?
Well, this one's it's my pick, right?
Yes.
I have to give credit where credit is due to me. We are going to talk about the haunted Appalachian Mountains and Smoky Mountains.
Ooh.
Smoky.
I still say they need to add an E.
I know.
But they won't listen to
We talked about that before we started recording, and I agree. I think it's a mind-altering thing when you realize, like, where's E?
I think they're set.
Smoke Y.
You don't think we have any chance of getting it changed?
We're not going
to
petition.
They're going to listen to us.
Oh, they'll listen to us, and they'll just deny it. they've probably heard it before. Yeah. I guarantee somebody is like, "Can you?" You know,
but isn't that how Smokey the Bear spells his name?
Yeah,
with an E.
I believe so.
That's what I'm saying,
right?
He's not Smokey.
I've got to Google all these things.
Or he's not Smock Y.
I've gone down this rabbit hole before, and I feel like it's one of those. You know, like where you think you know something and you don't, and it's like it alters your reality kind of thing. What is that called? The Mandela effect, right?
Oh, yeah, the Mandela.
Mandela effect. Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. We're like, all these years I thought this and this isn't right. And, you know, there's been some kind of a warp in reality or something. I don't know. I don't think it's right. I just didn't know.
No, I'm not going there until they change the name.
Smokey the Bear.
Instead of Smoke
Smokey
Wife.
The Bandit.
I'll go around it.
Yeah, me too.
Smokey and the Bandit has an E. Smokey the Bear definitely does.
Yeah. So anyway, the Appalachian and Smoky Mountains. So good choice, by the way, because I found a lot of... Yeah, there you go, Smokey.
I told you.
A lot of good stories, a lot of creepy stuff.
Good.
Happening in that region.
And when I recommended this...
It's a big region.
Very big. When I recommended this, I was like, I don't think there's much going on there. Spooky. I think it's pretty, like, spookless.
You just made a mistake, though.
Did I? What'd I do?
You gave yourself credit. Well, isn't it your wife?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, don't call me out on that.
Oh, yes.
I did. Well, I'm going by I'm going by the script, not script. Doesn't
script,
it say
not
Sean?
Script?
It says Sean.
I
cannot
I
be held.
You, but yeah,
I know. But I should know better, right?
Yeah.
Have you met
me?
Though?
Thought you.
Have
well,
you met
true.
Me? You
that's,
know me. And then
true.
This. I'm the one that couldn't even remember.
If
the
you
podcast
put it in front of him, he'll read it.
I could. Yeah. Right. Sean is a
I
complete total douche.
Herbert. This is a Herbert's choice.
Who the heck is Herbert? I'm the one that couldn't even remember the podcast back, did I remember?
I honestly didn't think to put Jenna because I knew it was her. But I thought, oh, he'll.
I'm glad you. I honestly, and I even told her, I'm like, hey, we're gonna do your recommendation. You recommended this a while back. I was looking at my list like, okay, what's the time for? And, that, and I was like, it's hers.
So I thank you, Jenna, for your recommendation.
She was very...
He's trying to take all the credit.
Sean doesn't appreciate it, but we do.
That's right.
I did run the... I have a special middle-aged moment, and I did run that by her, and she's like, perfect. So okay. She did approve of that, too. So that'll be... I'll give her credit before that we even get to that. I don't know how to cover the Smoky Mountains and the Appalachians, but just the Smokies, most of us know around here, not, but people, you know, even around the country, but around the world may not realize, a mountain range rising along the Tennessee, North Carolina border in the southeastern United States, subrange of the Appalachians. So they're part of the Appalachians, probably the part of the Appalachians that I've been to the most. And that's why it was kind of near and dear to my heart, when Jenna mentioned it. And the Appalachians, they go all the way from, oh my goodness sakes, let's say down to Alabama. So Georgia, Alabama, all the way up to Newfoundland. So they're
huge. Oh, do
huge.
They go to that?
Yeah. Well, and all that.
Virginia.
That mountain range goes technically through the ocean and all the way up to like Scotland. And I keep hitting our skeleton's hand. And Africa. So that's it's a huge mountain range. But at least our portion of it and up into Canada and Newfoundland is Quebec and all that. Nova Scotia. I mean, it's all over the place. It goes through Washington, D.C. So technically, that's what's at least. Yeah. I never thought about being in Washington, D.C., but.
Interesting.
So it goes through lots and lots of states, but so it's a huge mountain range. So you can imagine with all of that, there is going to be some spookiness. The funny thing is I saw everything from mountain witches to prophets, spirits seen there, headless ghosts, lots of cemeteries. I always think when I go through, we go to the Smokies, you know, every once in a while, that's where, we've gone to Kentucky, we've gone to Tennessee, and getting a cabin, there's nothing like that. You know, you think about the bears and all that kind of stuff, but there's just something about being in the wilderness. But when it gets dark and you're thinking, I mean, it's not just bears that can scare you, although that's pretty scary. But it is, there's a creepiness to the woods and the mountains, you know, after dark and even in the broad daylight, it can be a little creepy, little
Sasquatch,
little Blair Witchy. Sasquatch is another thing to be watching for, right?
Or a bear squatch.
Bear squatch.
Bear squatch.
Sass bear.
But there's a lot of different...
Does a bear squatch in the wood?
They might. Have you watched one?
If you're not... Never mind. Well, let's just quit water behind that.
we're around
continuing with
the show. Well, you brought up the Blair Witch. That is something that people go to Maryland, Black Hills, to try to search for, even though it was made up.
I was going to say, it's fictional. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is fictional.
But people still believe there might be something there. But there is really something
there. Really?
Yep. Uh-oh, here we go.
There is a rock called Coffin Rock.
Do tell.
And I believe it's in the Blair Witch movie, too.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've seen that. I need to watch that again. A flat boulder with a true horror tale. Yep, it made an appearance in the film. As local legend goes, a search party was found disemboweled and bound to this rock after the 8-year-old girl they were looking for returned. Later, the bodies mysteriously disappeared.
Ooh.
That's wild.
So that's
worth going and seeing all by itself.
Yeah.
You mean tonight? Like tonight?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
I got flashlights.
Hey, well, flash. We know that. Flashlight guy.
We have no doubt that Nate has his 87 flashlights, which has helped in the past.
Well, I think it's there are so many restless spirits. There's ton. I mean, we could spend hours and hours and hours on all the different stories. So, but we are only going to share a couple. But there's, you know, haunted cemeteries, haunted amusement parks. There's stories of I saw this one. I thought it was funny. Coon hunting ghosts. You know, I was like, well, of course.
Really? Okay.
What else would there be? This one
what
I like.
What was that? Oh, it's just that coon dog.
the
coon dog ghost.
Right. Well, it's true. I'm not even making that up.
I've got mine ready to go. It's not a coon dog.
The haunting tale of. Yeah, I had a really good coon one, but no. The haunting tale of Nancy Barton. For centuries, hikers traveling in the Nancy Brook scenic area of the White Mountain National Forest have reported hearing cries and shrieks of laughter. These strange noises are thought to belong to a young woman named Nancy Barton, who had been hiking through Crawford Notch in the winter of 1778 when she succumbed to frostbite and hypothermia. Nancy died while in pursuit of a lover who had betrayed her. Her legend detailed In this article, continues to fuel speculation as to whether the scenic area is haunted. So for the centuries, hikers have seen her, and reporting her cries and shrieks of laughter. It says that, she worked as a servant for, colonoscopy Joseph I think it's colonel, but it's colonel. I think it was just misspelled. Joseph Whipple on his farm in Jefferson, New Hampshire. It was there that she met and became infatuated with Jim Swindell. This all sounds made up. One of the hands on the farm. Nancy was smitten with her newfound love and confided in her neighbors that she and Jim shared similar values. When Jim eventually proposed, she was thrilled. Together, they planned to marry and settle in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Nancy believed she'd be sharing the rest of her life with Jim, including all of her assets. She entrusted with him her entire life savings, all the money she had earned while working for Whipple. This was a fatal mistake. While Nancy was away making arrangements to relocate to Portsmouth with her new fiancé, Whipple and Jim began to conspire against her. It still says colonel. I don't know what a colonel is. Strongly supported the American colonies. I guess it's colonial, but I don't
know how they spell it.
It says it looks like something that you'd be like a colonial. I guess it's just colonial, but I think about it as like,
well, that's colonel,
right?
That's colonel.
That's colonel.
Colonel.
C O L O N E L. That's colonel. Mm-hmm. My God, I'm just done.
Okay, Nate.
That's colonel.
Moving on.
So, colonial would be with IAL.
Colonial?
COLONIAL. That's colonel.
Colonel. Okay. So colonel.
Do you need to do a lobotomy?
Is it really colonel?
Yes.
I'm so tired. I'll just stop there.
He thought colonel was K-E-R-N-E-L.
Like, wrong colonel.
I'm just done. It's a put a fork in me. So I kept skipping over because I was like, I don't know what that word is. I guess I don't know. I'm sorry.
Nate and Todd are not anything that comes out of his
Sean
mouth.
Is a douche.
Do not hold it against him.
Canoe.
Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. He strongly supported the American colonies fight for independence against the British in
the
Revolutionary War. The colonel. What are we talking about? Chicken now? I guess that would. Okay. It's theorized that he convinced Jim to leave Jefferson with Nancy's money and join the colonist army. According to Haunted Hikes of New Hampshire, Jim was said to have spent her dowry on a new uniform. So anyway, in all of her, in all of this betrayal, she basically is still. She's still in pain. She's still haunting the area. I kind of messed this one up. Sure.
Was that all in the script?
I don't think so.
Sean, thank you for that.
I don't even know where to go with this. Basically,
there's a woman that keeps haunting the
place. Is she a woman in white?
Yeah. She apparently had a psychotic episode and was... She basically went out on. I don't know. I can't even.
The creepies will really enjoy that one. Named time. I'm hammering you. Sorry. That's funny. That's
you know what else is out there in the Appalachians?
What's that?
Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Oh, yeah. Yes, which we've talked about, right?
That sounds familiar. Maybe it was the last. No, maybe. It was 2 weeks ago. Or
yeah,
2 weeks
couple,
ago.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's out there.
And you know who else, Nate? I will raise you
the Bell Witch.
Yeah,
Bell Witch.
Bell Witch. Yeah,
Tennessee.
Yeah,
the Bell Witch. We did that. Man, that was a while back.
We did do. Oh yeah. Don't ask me the episode. I have no idea. Tonight's not the night to ask.
And here's one for you. Here's a story.
Can I say?
Are you not done with that story yet?
I was trying to wrap it up.
Nate, did you think he was done?
I don't know whether I was done or not.
I thought he was.
Yeah, you said so.
It's like he was giving up.
Well, I was because the article kind of went on and on and on. And let me finish real quick. Nancy was buried by the brook where her body was found, and the news of her death began to spread throughout the area. Jim, upon hearing about Nancy's tragic end, became consumed with guilt and experienced a psychotic episode. He died soon after in a psychiatric hospital, though the exact cause of his death is unknown. The Nancy Brook Scenic Area was given its name to commemorate her death. Don't you yawn at me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were yawning over there.
Nate, I was just getting oxygen.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay.
Is he done now?
I don't know.
I thought we really thought you were done. Cause
we
you
need
said,
to get a baton.
You said basically baton.
I got old.
You said basically it's a lady that's haunting, keeps haunting the place, and then you stop, and then
I know I did. I got all messed up on.
And he goes, "Oh, hey, can I finish my story,
Colonel?
How many times are you gonna finish it?
I know.
Can't finish.
And
it's not my night. I'll just tell you.
Oh, that's all right. That was all right. All right. That was a really good story.
It was not. Creepy. This is my pig, right? Or no, Jenna's pig. I'm making a Mel of a Hess with it. Right?
Well, I've got a story. Can I tell my story?
You may.
Can I finish?
Finish the story.
Finish the story.
That came up the other day. Yesterday, I was like, "Duh." Okay, this one is called The First Ghost of Bristol. Have either one of you been to Bristol, Tennessee?
I have not.
I have not either. I've always wanted to go to the NASCAR race.
Oh, yeah. I like the race because it's short track.
Oh, yeah, man. They're just going in basically in a circle. Yeah. I mean, it's truly, yeah. Very short track. It's like, what, three quarters of a mile, maybe? So Bristol, Tennessee / Virginia, like many southern and Appalachian towns, has a fair share of unique and strange tales. This town exists primarily because of railroads bringing people and trade to the region for decades. Okay, this isn't too long. The story is set in 1854 and features a man by the name of John H. Moore, who owned a store and small smokehouse located near Lee and Moore Streets in Bristol. While in preparation for opening the new store, the family made arrangements to dig a new well. One morning, Mrs. Moore went to the smokehouse with a butcher knife and was alarmed to see the apparition of what appeared to be a Native American spirit who was advancing towards her as if it was to attack her. The spirit disappeared and was never seen again, and the knife also disappeared after the incident. Mrs. Moore then protested the digging of the new well, saying that the spirit she saw was warning not to disturb this area. Chalking this all up to simple superstitions, John Moore proceeded with the digging, and sure enough, after the well was dug, a Native American grave was found on the site. While this might seem like a simple ghost tale, according to Phillips, it's in his book called, Ghost of Bristol, Haunting Tales from the Twin Cities. He says it's the first recorded one in Bristol, making it worthy of our October Appalachian Ghost Tales featured list. So that's kind of interesting.
That's very good, yeah.
Yeah. So don't be digging wells on a burial ground.
Don't you be doing it.
No. Nope. No digging for you.
We've talked about the Lake Shawnee Amusement Park before in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And that is, I know we've talked about that in some further detail, but that is such a spooky area too. I know that's on a lot of the
list. It's been coming up on a lot of other podcasts.
Oh, it has. Yeah, I know. I think the first time we heard about it, or at least I heard about it, was Erin Egnatz. And she was the one that had kind of, I was like, ooh, I got to look that up.
Now, see, I heard it on a podcast. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, it's kind of like our Indiana State Sanatorium.
It's everywhere
becoming,
now.
Very, very popular. Yeah. And West Virginia, man, that we could do a whole episode on that.
Number one creepy state.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now. Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Yep.
Mothman.
Yep, Mothman. Yep. Yeah, they got that. Trans-Allegheny. I mean, so anybody, whoever wants to share, I've got all kinds of crazy happenings.
There is the Greenbrier ghost. It is the depiction of a ghost sighting was actually documented in a court case. Writer Scott McClanahan tells us, I'm going to incite yawning
Nate's
every
already
time I speak.
Sorry, I've been up since 4:30.
Oh, I hear you. Oh, I hear you. Writer Scott McClanahan tells us the tale. He grew up just a few miles from where the ghost of Zona Hester supposedly appeared outside the logging town of Rennell. So the Greenbrier ghost. I have actually. Okay. Have you guys ever heard of that one before?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Now, wasn't there a Greenbrier ghost in Scotland, England? Wasn't there like...
That sounds correct. I'm not positive. I'd have to look that one up.
Mm-hmm. The reason I say that, I think, is actually, and I could be wrong, but I thought the Greenbrier ghost or some ghost in Greenbrier when we did like the Ladies in White episode. Greenbrier sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. There must be a Greenbrier everywhere. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, that's cool, though.
There are ghost lights on Brown Mountain in Burke County, North Carolina.
Okay. Let's hear it.
On a clear night in the Linville Gorge wilderness of western North Carolina, you might see lights glowing across the valley on Brown Mountain's barren peak. The mysterious illuminations have been sporadically bobbing in the distance since the dawn of the Appalachian civilization, and still nobody has an explanation, despite several investigations conducted by the U.S. government. Cherokee legend has it that the lights were spirits of women searching for loved ones lost in a battle that occurred on the mountain in 2000 CE. That the Brown Mountain ghost lights were reportedly long before the Industrial Revolution discredits the leading scientific hypothesis that they're simply headlights from cars or trains.
I like that story. I like those.
Yeah. That'd be fun to go look at that.
Put it on the list.
Put it on the list?
I got it on the list.
I'll interesting.
Put it on. Starting to look like naughty, naughty or nice list.
It isn't, yeah. Wait a minute.
It's long.
It's very definitely long. I like the story. Here's one. I'm going to call it Wheatlands Plantation because it's spelled like wheat. Could be wetlands.
Smells like wheat.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to call it Wheatlands, and I apologize if whoever out there listens and says, no, it's wrong, it's wetlands. So this says the Antebellum Plantation in Seaver County, known as Wheatlands or Wetlands, is on the National Register of Historic Places and is the location of the famous Battle of Boyd's Creek. The nearly 30 Cherokees that were slain in the battle now lie in a mass grave behind the home, and many say that they aren't the only bodies buried there. It's also said at least 70 murders took place within the house itself. Wow. The plantation was open for tours but has been closed now for years. As the story goes, you might spot bloodstains in the home's parlor after the owner of the estate left Wheatlands Plantation to her grandson. His jealous father confronted him and in turn was murdered by his son with an iron poker. Although the floors have been cleaned numerous times, the bloodstains keep returning.
Oh my gosh. You had met bloodstains.
Yeah, right? But yeah, that's brutal. Sad. So anyway, yeah, we'll put that on the list. It shows a picture. Pretty
ooh,
cool.
I like pictures.
Oh, cool.
I mean, it's not like overly huge, but it's, I mean, it's not small, but I mean, it's yeah.
Spooky looking.
Wheatlands Plantation, yeah.
Okay. There is a mysterious mansion at Gatlinburg. But, do you guys know about that?
Yeah. No, but I just want to say we love Gatlinburg.
Oh,
We've been there, I think, three times. Anyway, love that area. I love this.
Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge area.
Yeah, Smoky Mountains. Oh, yeah, Pigeon Forge is awesome. Yeah, so we love that area, by the way. Shout out to Gatlinburg.
They say, and this is funny because this says that Gatlinburg in itself is worth the visit, but it says the mysterious mansion is part of that. The haunted attraction offers a winning combination of a very spooky Victorian house, well-trained team, and some other surprises to ensure that you get spooked. Mysterious Mansion of Gatlinburg, which has been in business since 1980, is the oldest haunted attraction in the Smoky Mountains. According to legend, this house is haunted by the ghost of a family that died there in 1903. In a series of tragic events, the family went insane. Here we go. Turned on one another and killed each other. Ever since that time, the house has been haunted with paranormal activity that no one can deny. Touring the three-story 1900s-style Victorian mansion will take approximately 15 to 20 minutes. That's all. But it is self-guided. You can move at your own pace. Your experience begins in a creepy parlor and continues down a secret passageway. As you move throughout the mysterious mansion, you will be challenged to escape each room of the house. That is pretty cool.
That is great. That is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
There always says one of the highlights of the Mysterious Mansion is their live characters. They are top-notch, staying character, and are well-trained in exactly how far to go. So they appear, disappear, frighten you and your group. The actors' mysterious disappearances, great costumes and makeup combined with the shock tactics will keep you on your toes. I like that a lot. I was looking for prices. I don't know what the
like
price
a midget
are.
At a urinal. Always be on your toes.
Oh, I thought the dad jokes were over.
Hey, that's from what is it? Naked Gun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is from Naked Gun.
Absolutely.
They're remaking that, by the way. Did you know that?
Oh, no, they can't.
Oh, they are.
You can't get better than Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
I think it's a continuance, not a remake.
Oh, it's not a remake?
Because you can't
continuous.
Outdo. I mean, Leslie Nielsen is the king of that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I think it's Liam Neeson that was going to take over or
I love
continue
Liam Neeson
or whatever. I want to
beat
maybe
somebody up. But not,
am I making that up?
Okay,
yeah, maybe.
Anyway.
I can't remember.
I don't like that. I'm going to get Smoky Mountains changed with an E, and then I'm going to tell them not to make the whatever we just said, Naked Gun. Okay. No, I like that story. That's cool. That would be fun. That would be really fun.
It says Naked Gun reboot go with Liam Neeson starring October 13th, 2022.
He's not slapstick.
I thought I saw that. I was like, and you never know. Well, He's going to be.
Leslie,
he has a special set of skills.
Yes, that's why I love him in those.
It's in Variety, Deadline, all these other movie web.
So. That house that we talked about, or you talked about, is that is it just during Halloween season, or is it all the time? You can visit it.
I think it's all the time.
That would be cool. I think we ought to go.
I do, too. I totally agree.
Well, if you break in, you can go anytime.
True. I'd rather not break in as I smack my lip on the microphone.
Lip smacker.
Nate, you got another story?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Well, I've got
exhausted.
One. Huh?
I have exhausted.
Is that why you keep yawning? Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
That, too.
That different kind of exhausted.
Okay. So, here's one called the, Cades Cove, C-A-D-E-S, Cades Cove. Says, few can deny the eerie feeling of Cades Cove at dusk. Many have taken photos of scary sights as the sun is setting, looking around for a woman's face on the side of the primitive Baptist church.
Ooh.
There are a few specific ghost stories about this area, but it's a place filled with abandoned cabins, churches, and cemeteries is bound to have some spooky history. Says, our favorite story is the cussing cover. Okay. Okay. Cades Cove. And then it gets into, it says, the cussing cover, the Smoky Mountain legend tells the story of Mavis. I love that name. And Basil Estep, a married couple who lived in Cades Cove a very long time ago. Mavis was born during a thunderstorm and had a persistent fear of being struck by lightning. She loved to sew, but would not even use her quilting needle during a thunderstorm. One of Mavis's favorite pieces of patchwork was a quilt she made out of one of Basil's old flannel shirts. She called it the cussing cover because Basil was wearing it during one of his first fights, or one of their first fights, where some swearing occurred. I don't know anything about that. Mavis grew ill, and toward the end of her life, she gave Basil permission to remarry under two specific conditions. He was never to sell any of her quilts, and absolutely never place any of those quilts on a metal bed. After Mavis died, Basil married a girl named Truly Jane, T-R-U-L-I-E, Truly Jane.
Who loved to put quilts on metal beds, right?
Right. Says, Truly Jane and Basil bought a new metal bed.
Here we go.
So they bought a new metal bed to sleep in. One cold night, Truly Jane awoke to find an extra blanket. She chose the cussing cover and brought it into their metal bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Hours later, a rogue bolt of lightning struck the bed and killed Basil Estep.
Yeah, of course.
The rest of the cabin was untouched.
Hmm. Wow.
She warned him.
Just tempting fate right there.
She said, hey.
We've seen one of these.
Oh.
Chimney Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Near Lake Lure.
That's right.
Okay.
It just says that it includes angelic hosts and an aerial battle between armies on winged horses.
Ooh.
That's the rock that looks like a mushroom.
Pegasus.
Or chimney.
Chimney.
We'll stop there.
Yeah. Nice. We've actually seen that one.
Really?
We have, yeah. We were. Yeah.
What's it called again?
Chimney Rock.
Chimney Rock.
Well, once you see it, too, because you're like, why is it called Chimney Rock? And the kids are even like that, and you know, we're asking that question. And then when we looked up, we're like, oh, that makes perfect sense. It does look like a little chimney.
Yeah, because the little town, I believe it's called Chimney Rock. And we were at Lake Lure.
We were doing shopping there, eating ice cream. And
this was like sort of halfway in between Lake Lure and Asheville.
Yeah, it's a good little place to stop by.
Yep, it's cool.
Nice. There is a prophet of Oak Ridge. His name is John Hendricks. I have never heard of this guy, but he was so fascinating. This is probably somebody we should maybe cover a little bit. But John Hendricks is one of the most indelible characters in the history of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, considered a mystic by his neighbors in rural Anderson County. Hendricks had a number of visions in the early 1900s that were seemingly proven to be accurate future events. Hendricks is most famous for allegedly predicting the establishment of Oak Ridge, the Y-12 plant more than 40 years before they existed. And let's see. So his early life, marriage and loss. John Hendricks was born November 9th, 1865 in Anderson County, Tennessee. His early 20s, Hendricks married Julia Ann Griffith of nearby Morgan County, with whom he had four children. The Hendricks family lived on a hill that was located above the present site of the Bull Run Fossil Plant in Claxton, Tennessee. Tragedy struck the Hendricks clan when John's two-year-old daughter, Ethel, died of diphtheria, a serious infection of the nose and throat. Julia Ann's grief over the loss of her youngest daughter turned to anger at John, whom she blamed for Ethel's death. John had spanked Ethel before she became sick, and Julia believed that the punishment had caused her to become ill. Around the turn of the century, Julia Ann left John and took the three remaining Hendrix children to Arkansas, where she later remarried. So after the loss of his daughter, the heartbroken departure of his family, John Hendrix was drawn to religion and mysticism. Hendrix retreated to the woods for 40 days and nights to sleep on the ground and pray, believing that his act of faith would bring him divine revelations. John Hendrix began to have visions that he shared with the community, but his powers were not appreciated by his neighbors. The local authorities assumed that Hendrix was insane and imprisoned him at the county farm, also known as the poorhouse. However, Hendrix escaped and declared that God would burn the farm down within a month. As Hendrix predicted, the building caught fire after being struck by lightning. While some people were afraid that Hendrix was a witch, most community members were dismissive of his visions during his lifetime. He predicted a secret city. John Hendrix's startling vision predicted monumental changes in his hometown. The story of George Robinson, Hendrix made the following prophecy to the audience. I know this goes on and on and on, but he saw World War One happening. Mm-hmm. He went on to, just have all these visions. But it's interesting. I've never heard of this guy. But he was known as the Mountain Prophet. So, like I said, his story goes on and on and on. But out of tragedy of losing his family, he basically turned to this, being a prophet.
Yeah.
He did marry a second wife in 1908. She gave birth to a son. He contracted tuberculosis. And Hendrix's stepdaughter and husband took care of him as the condition worsened. And he ultimately passed away at the age of 49. Today visitors go to the secret city and they can learn about the Prophet of Oak Ridge as John Hendrix Memorial Prayer Walk. It's an easy half mile nature trail, and it tells all about his life in a beautiful outdoor setting. So that's kind of cool that he was very mm-hmm. drawn to nature. Mm-hmm. I watched some videos on him because I just found him such an interesting character. But when he was doing that 40 days, 40 nights, like people would bring him blankets and coats and try to keep him warm because they said his body was like frozen to the ground. And
oh gosh.
Half the time he couldn't even move during the night. So
wow.
It makes me think like Jesus in the desert for 40 days, 40 nights and talking to God. But he was... They say, he's just crazy. He was insane. And, he was succumbing to the elements, which is possible. Mm-hmm. But he felt like it sounded like a lot of the things that he predicted did come true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you predict one thing, it's kind of pretty good.
Predict two, you're a prophet.
Yeah. And predict three. I don't know. You're really good, I guess. I like that. I like that. Here's an interesting story. It's called The Girl Who Appears at 3:33 a.m. at LeConte Lodge. I'm going to think it's LeConte. I don't know. As I lose my voice. Look, there's a possibility that the act of getting to LeConte Lodge is enough to drive people round the bend. But there have been several reports of people awakening at exactly 3:33 a.m. to see a little girl at the foot of their bed. Says, at my house, that means my little girl Ainsley woke up in the night and wants something to drink. At LeConte, the little girl is gone before she can tell anyone what she wants. There is no specific information about who the girl might be or why she likes to watch hikers sleep in the wee morning hours. However, I can promise you, if I wake up with a ghostly girl at the foot of my bed, I'm hiking back down off of that mountain, and I ain't waiting for the sun to come up. There you go.
I see
a little girl. 3:33.
See something at the foot of my bed. I'm swinging.
That's right. No kidding, right?
little sweep a leg and a little kick to the face, and then that would be a little creepy though.
Little martial arts,
right? 3:33, like, wait a minute, who are you? You're not one of my kids. Yeah,
you guys hear about Helen's Bridge?
No,
this is I'm assuming in Asheville. Let's see. It is an arch stone bridge that was constructed in 1909 to provide access to the Zelanda Mansion. The legend tells of a woman named Helen. Well, what would you think? Helen's Bridge?
Hmm.
Yeah, it's probably Helen.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Not Sarah.
Fact check.
Yeah.
Who lived at or near the mansion with her beloved daughter? After Helen's daughter died in a fire that destroyed their home, the distraught mother hung herself from the bridge. Her anguished spirit is said to still appear when her name is called. People who have attempted to summon the spirit have reported that their car will not start when they try to leave, or they find handprints on top of the car.
Helen.
Ooh, Helen. You.
She's a tricky devil.
She's a tricky Helen.
There is this, this one you guys are going to love. The Huggins Hell in the Smoky Mountains. Like other haunted places in East Tennessee, Huggins Hell gets its sinister name from its unforgiving landscape. This area is located on the steep south slope of Mount Le Conte and isn't accessible by maintained trails. However, that doesn't stop the likes of ex-Marines and backcountry enthusiasts from making the trip to Huggins Hell to experience this challenging wilderness. By glancing at a trail map of the Smokies, you may notice that there are several places with names that conjure up imagery of the devil and hell. These places earn their names from early settlers who decided that only the devil himself would inhabit such a rugged and desperate landscape. Whether or not the devil makes Huggins Hell his stomping ground, there's no doubting that these remote, inaccessible regions of the park give visitors a spooky, uneasy feeling. Hikers who brave this rock face will expect a four-hour steep climb near Mount Le Conte that poses a true danger. Not only would a fall from the steep cliffs of one of the most dangerous haunted places in the Smokies maim you.
Would be fun.
Right? but since authorized trails book or let's see, since authorized trail books don't even list the trail, if you were injured, no one would find you in quite some time. Let that frightening thought sink in, it says. Over the years, dozens of hikers have gone into the back country or off-trail areas of the national park, never to be seen again. The Smoky Mountains, for all their beauty, are still wild and one of the few places left in the eastern U.S. where someone could seemingly disappear without a trace. When hikers stay on trail, this is practically never an issue, but for adventurers who seek the most rugged parts of the mountains, this is an ever-present risk, which I've heard that over and over again. I mean, there are people, there's stories of people like taking a picture by a cliff, you know, like... one false move or one wrong step and you're gone, you know.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy the fall. That's terrible. Yeah,
but it's true. It doesn't
happen. No, I'm not. Yeah.
Like, what happened?
No, it's terrible.
You do.
I'm trying to make fun of people that die from it. I'm just saying, wow. Yeah, that.
I know you're going with that.
I know. That'd be my luck. Hey, where's Todd? No, he fell off the cliff. He's not doing the podcast.
He was back there. Yeah. Where'd he go?
Hey, Todd?
Hello?
Nate, you got a story, man?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
I wish we would have done this episode before we went to Lake Lure, because there's ghosts there.
Whoa.
Well, you just got to go back.
Well, yeah. I saw one.
There's a bridge called Flowering Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be called Clementine's Bridge.
Oh.
Said to be haunted by Clementine. Another one.
Oh, my darling.
The beautiful young woman was water skiing in the 1960s, lost her balance, and was hurled into the bridge where her spirit is said to still linger. And then close by, at the Lake Lure Inn, it is haunted. Back in 1930, a newly wedded couple was staying at the inn when the groom flew into a jealous rage and murdered his blushing bride after he found her talking to another man in the inn's lobby. Mm. The couple was staying in rooms 217 and 218, which at the time was one large room. Since that tragic incident, guests have described an overpowering smell of roses in those particular rooms, and some have even reported seeing a lady in white at the foot of their bed or roaming the hallways.
Another lady in white.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad
lady
but creepy
in
story.
White.
Hardly ever hear those stories, eh?
No, this lady in white, and I've never,
we barely covered that before.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good story. Mm-hmm. It's sad, and the lady got hurled into the bridge. That's brutal.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Man, it's intense, right?
What's she saying? Go faster.
Nice. wow. Okay. I'm I've got a story here, and this one's really creepy. The Shapeshifter in Cherokee.
Ooh, I like that already.
I know. I had you at shape.
Ship shifter.
Okay, Spearfinger. I like that name. Spearfinger is a Cherokee legend of a stone woman with an obsidian spear.
For did you say stoned or stone?
Stone.
Oh, okay.
Not like, a stone.
This is taking a whole
nother.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Legend of a stone.
Got it.
Not stoned woman with an obsidian spear for a finger. A deceptive shapeshifter, Spearfinger operates in the mountains near North Carolina and Tennessee, seeking out children. In the autumn, the Cherokee tribe would burn brush fires, which Spearfinger would use to locate their village. She would come in the guise of an old woman. That old trick. She would offer to brush their hair until it
was like Snow White, yeah.
Until they fell asleep. Then she would stab them with her finger through the back of the neck and withdraw the liver, which she would eat.
My goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. Spearfinger had a song that she'd sing as she moved through the mountains. Liver, I eat it. Oh, yeah. Liver, I eat it. I was like, liver, I eat. Oh, liver, I eat it. It flows better, I assume, in the original Cherokee, though she most often...
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's almost like Mary had a little lamb, right?
Right. Liver, I eat it. Yeah. Though the most often appeared as an old lady, she could be anything she wanted. She could appear as another child, a friend, or an animal. She was made of stone, so no weapon forged by man could stop her. Her only weakness was her heart, which she carried in her right hand. Her enemy...
It's wild.
Check this out. This, wow, this is longer than I thought. Her enemy, Stone Man, also ate livers. Wow. I hate liver.
Stone Man.
I know.
Come together so, with your...
So he wasn't exactly helpful to the Cherokee, who used the stories of Spearfinger to keep children close to the village. She and Stone Man also had powers to move boulders and rock. Spearfinger created a great rock bridge through the air to travel from mountain to mountain. This angered the higher beings, who destroyed it with lightning, the remains of which are reportedly in Blount County. Mm. Legend has it the Spearfinger was eventually destroyed when a chickadee tipped the Cherokee
chickadee.
Warriors off on her weakness. They pierced her heart, ending her.
Oh, wow. That's actually really good.
I was like, wow, that's a Tuesday terror. Yeah.
Right?
Eat liver, though. Pick something better. I mean,
resurrect that one in the future. Right?
Yeah.
I have one that's the White Oak Flat Cemetery. The Smoky Mountains have several spooky cemeteries that vacationers eager for a scare can add to their list of haunted places in the Smokies to visit. There are several cemeteries along hiking trails, such as the Nolan Creek Trail or Little Greenbrier, and the Caddis Cove boasts a cemetery of both the primitive Baptist and Methodist churches. Occasionally, visitors have reported strange sightings of figures near grave sites, but perhaps the most active place for ghostly activity is White Oaks Flat Cemetery in Gatlinburg. White Oaks Flat Cemetery is a bit of a hidden gem of one of the haunted places in Gatlinburg. A short walk from Gatlinburg's The Village, you'll find one of the oldest cemeteries in the area. Established in 1830, this cemetery boasts the graves of several of Gatlinburg's early settlers, as well as several unmarked graves. Who knows what spirits might lurk in the nearby forest? Many guests visit this and several other haunted places in the Smoky Mountains, such as the Greenbrier Restaurant, through Gatlinburg ghost tours. So we got to do some ghost tours down there. There are plenty of other spooky haunted places in the Smoky Mountains. These are some of the most spine-tingling highlights. I think it's interesting, you know, all the talk, especially, you know, we're talking about the Appalachians, but the Smokies, really, we've highlighted a lot of that. It says, be sure to explore some of these spooky places in the mountains. There are all sorts of mysterious phenomena like strange lights. Hikers sometimes report seeing on mountainsides, such as the Brown Mountain Lights in nearby North Carolina. We talked about that. Inside the 800 square mile national park, the landscape is littered with abandoned homes, grave sites with former residents of the Smokies. There's a lot of quiet places that were once filled with life. It's not uncommon to get an eerie feeling while hiking in the mountains. That is very, we talk about mountain tribes and all that kind of stuff. There's movies made about it. We're not going to go too in depth with that, but it's just, that is some of the most spooky things, you know, the hills have eyes kind of feeling. But it says definitely take time to explore some of those abandoned communities inside the national parks, like Elkmont, Sugarlands, Tremont, and Cadass Cove. I don't know why I can't say that. And it says you might even run into some mysterious spectral presences from days long past. I love it.
I do. Hmm. I like it. Oh, I like it a lot.
You like it a lot?
That's nice. I have this story about the Devil's Courthouse.
Ooh, yeah, me a devil.
Located in Whiteside Mountain in North Carolina. In a cliff with a sinister cave and an even more menacing legend, early pioneer settlers told a terrifying tale that the devil himself held court in the cave underneath the cliff, using it to pass his devilish judgments. Many believe the story to have been adapted from an early Cherokee legend about a giant with a booming voice and arrows crafted from lightning named Jutakula.
Nailed it.
Sure. the giant was said to have lived in that very cave, dancing and passing his own judgments. The location currently is an active and popular hiking location despite its legends.
And it's, what was it called? The Devil's what?
The Devil's Courthouse.
The Devil's?
A.K.A. Playground.
Courthouse, you say.
Courthouse. I like that a lot.
Courts in session.
I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, you had me a devil. You know, anytime you get a devil story in there, right?
Satan.
Satan. I'm going to do my last story, and then Sean, you want to wrap it up?
Absolutely.
With the, all right, so this is called the Elkmont Resort. One of the eeriest haunted places in the Smokies just might be Elkmont, once a thriving resort at the beginning of the 20th century. Formed by wealthy hunters who founded the Appalachian Club, Elkmont now stands completely abandoned. The wealthy resort goers' pleasure cabins stand empty. Up until the past decade, the ruins of the Wonderland Hotel stood as a testament to the fledgling resort community that once thrived in the woods. Now all that is left are empty homes and eerie ruins that are slowly returning to nature. It's sad. Additionally, Elkmont was once an active logging camp in the early 20th century. Before the formation of the park, dozens of workers were maimed or killed in horrific logging accidents and train wrecks in this rugged part of the mountains. These gruesome incidents involved exploding boilers and derailed trains with tons of falling logs, so some poor souls must have met their ghastly end. To this day, some visitors to the area even report an uneasy feeling as they walk past historic homes in Elkmont, or the lingering feeling that they are being watched. Vacationers looking for haunted places in East Tennessee that are uniquely creepy will want to stop by this spot.
Ooh, I like that one too.
Elkmont Resort.
I'm watching you.
I'm watching you, watching me.
I see you.
Watching me. Wait, yeah, that got weird. So, I like it. We got a lot of places to visit.
We got a lot of places.
We do. The last place here, and this is right up my alley, is an abandoned theme park in the sky. So it's an amusement park up there in the mountains. I like how this article says, as they say, ride or die. Maggie Valley, North Carolina.
That's encouraging.
It is a little bit, right? Maggie Valley, North Carolina, Ghost Town Village is a fitting name for an abandoned theme park set 4,600 feet high in North Carolina's Great Smoky Mountains. There you'll find a recreated Old West town complete with saloons, stagecoaches, old-timey general stores, and a little white schoolhouse. Some of the most noteworthy landmarks are the roller coaster called Red Devil Cliffhanger that stretches out toward the rippling horizon, or the defunct House of Terror, which still contains disemboweled mannequins, blood-splattered walls, and coffins. There you go, right up our alley. The park opened in 1961 and remained popular throughout the 80s, but a series of ownership changeovers thereafter left it bankrupt. Dozens of attempts have been made to resurrect Ghost Town Village since its official closing in 2002, but none have had much success. In 2019, the park changed ownership again, and there are new plans to restore it to its former glory. As of now, though, you can still visit the mountaintop park while it's quiet. If you don't mind hiking up Buck Mountain. That's pretty wild, isn't it?
I like it.
It's spooky. Like, the pictures of it are very eerie.
I like eerie.
It's worth a visit.
Is that a ride? Eerie. Is that a ride?
Eerie deer.
It's a lake.
Eerie deer. It is a lake.
Pretty sure.
All you Buckeyes out there.
I enjoyed this very much. Good. A lot of creepy places. A lot of history too, and that's why it even makes it better. So I hope Nate. Jeez, that's three times I've messed up your names. What's your name over there, Scott?
George.
Sean.
George.
I hope you've taken notes because we gotta remember all these places. So.
Name's Boy.
Hey, Boy. Give me a cup of coffee, Boy.
What's taking so long? Great, great places. So check out the haunted Appalachian Smoky Mountains. Yeah. And we do. We love Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge.
It'll take you a couple days. That's all.
It's just a couple of days.
A couple months. Couple
of
couple years.
I don't think we cover this in a couple of
couple
years.
Couple lifetimes. Yeah. That's a good point.
So yeah, I hope the creepies enjoyed that. So, what do you got, Sean, for us?
I just want to clarify. I also go by Jeeves. You can call me Jeeves.
You got some other names.
Right. Yeah. Something we can't say on the podcast.
Family friendly.
I have a middle-aged moment. And like I said earlier, this was one, has a little bit of meaning behind it for me too. So I'll preface that before I say it. This is, something that my grandparents used to like country music. My wife likes country music. I enjoy country music from time to time. I have to be in the mood. But I grew up with, this particular band, especially my grandmother especially loved it. And this song makes me think of both of my grandparents as my dad's parents, my grandma and grandpa Lehman.
Oak Ridge Boys.
It is not the Oak Ridge Boys, but they did like the Oak Ridge Boys as well.
Mop-o.
This is Alabama.
Huh. Oh,
Mountain Music.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I was listening. You'd know it if you heard it. But every time I hear it, I always think of my grandma and grandpa because of what's in the lyrics here. And Jenna, she listened to this and she goes, that's perfect. That's going
to
be
if you listen to my, it was either on the TikTok post or the
TikTok,
the Instagram. I had that as the background.
Yes.
Mountain. Yeah. Love that song.
So this is, you see that mountain over there, yeah? One of these days, I'm going to climb that mountain. Oh, play me some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to a Cajun hideaway.
Get the washboard out.
Washboard out. to a Cajun hideaway. Drift away like Tom Sawyer. Ride a raft with old Huck Finn. Take a nap like Rip Van Winkle. Days dreaming again. Oh, play me some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to a Cajun highway. Swim across the river just to prove that I'm a man. Spend the day been lazin', just being nature's friend. Climb a long, tall hickory. Bend it over, skinning cats. Playing baseball with shirt rocks. Using sawmill slabs for bats. Play me some mountain music that comes from my heart. Play something with lots of feeling, because that's where music has to start. Oh, play me some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to a Cajun hideaway. All right. And we keep, I'm not going to start singing the, oh, play me something. Yeah. But it does. It's very, you go. that's better than having me sing it, right?
That was the Instagram post. Yeah.
That's right.
Love that song.
Yeah. So I knew you guys would like that. And you see, you already, there was some foreshadowing there. You already knew that it was coming.
That's why this all fits perfect.
All copacetic, right?
Yeah.
This works.
So that's a shout out to my grandparents who were in heaven, right?
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Good. That does fit perfect. Yep.
I thought so too.
Well, thank you for that.
No problem.
And then.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Coming off of that, how about the second?
Elvis Presley is there.
just don't do it as Elvis.
Second part of the announcements is please follow us on all our social medias, please. Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. I haven't said this in a minute. We are TikTokers. TikTokers. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's for merch orders, show ideas, just to reach out and say hello. Tell us how we're doing, as long as it's good, right?
Yep. No negative comments.
None.
No,
they will be deleted immediately. No.
Yeah, right.
Tuesday tears are still dropping on Tuesdays. I can't keep
Thank
up with
for
when
that.
I that's have a, to go.
I'm glad you still mentioned that. Tuesday tears are happening
still
on Tuesday.
Still Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I think they've got to clarify that for Nate. I
keep looking for them on Thursdays.
That's right.
Nate.
No, not much going on Thursdays. So we also offer sponsorships for $50, emails if you were interested. We are on all podcast apps, listening platforms. Subscribe and please give us a 5-star rating and review. Also, word of mouth means everything as well and is wonderful. So please tell someone you know about our show, enemies, friends, family, loved ones.
Oh, yeah. Enemies, definitely.
The
stranger.
Dog, yeah. The dogs. I don't know. Neighbor's cat. I don't know. Anyway, so keep telling, keep spreading the word. We do sell merch, so with our logo. So what do I have to say?
Why would you not want our logo on a shirt or a hat or a backpack?
Backpack.
Or a coffee mug.
License plate? Do we do license plates yet? We got some guys in prison working on those. Yeah. Just kidding.
Toilet paper?
tink.
We have tink. I think his name's Rocco and Skull and Bones. They're making our
Bones. License plate. Make no bones about it, right?
Shout out to
So go get you some, right?
Go get Rocco.
Sorry. And Skull. We also offer segment sponsorships for $50 per segment. Email us if you're interested in that.
Yeah. Why would you not want to sponsor us? Because we are a big deal.
Is that a big deal.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Absolutely. Duh. Well, thank you for that, Sean.
No problem.
You know what? I'm going to turn it over to this guy to my right. Nate, what do you think?
Man, we are on fire tonight. It's getting awfully smoky.
Ooh. Oh, smoky?
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Nice. See?
He's got it.
He does have it.
He's got it.
He's got it going.
Got something going on.
Yeah, something. I think all three of us have something going on.
Not upstairs.
Yeah, right, right. Thank you for that, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, obviously, for listening to us and to episode number 86 and our discussion on the Haunted Appalachian and Smoky Mountains. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.